our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. Our next guest is a former LSU Tiger and NFL safety for the Giants, Redskins, and as he says, the greatest football franchise in the world, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Won a Super Bowl with the Steelers in 2009, the Pro Bowl in 2011. Career statistics. This is a crazy number. 643 tackles, 4 sacks, 16 interceptions, and 5 forced fumbles. Up next in the PT Pintcast, Mr. Ryan Clark. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How you doing, Jim?
We are having fun here. Just heard your keynote here at the Inova Capital City Sports Medicine Summit in Washington, D.C. Why'd you come to this? What's your personal connection with this thing?
Well, my personal connection is Dr. Robin West. She was a huge part of my recovery. When I was in Pittsburgh, I lost my spleen, my gallbladder, parts of my liver, and it was just... She was somebody that was there, somebody that never walked past you without asking how you were doing, somebody that never tried to offer some type of information about what was going on with you, and was also honest enough that if she didn't know, that she was going to seek it out. And so when somebody shows that they care not only about their job that way, but about the people that they take care of in that way, if they ask you to do something at all, if it's at all possible, you do it.
Just to set the stage for people, the Capital City Sports Medicine Summit, we've got physicians, we've got physical therapists, athletic trainers, ophthalmologists, and something that you said in your keynote resonated. Well, we'll talk about your condition with your spleen, your gallbladder, your liver. This was during your career, and you said something that really, I mean, I looked around just watching people's facial expressions. You wanted to hear from your healthcare provider that I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to figure out what's wrong with you because you had a lingering issue that was not going away.
Right.
You were getting tests. The tests were saying, hey, man, Brian, nothing's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's up. You said what I think everybody in the room needs to hear, and multiple times, not just once. I want to hear from my healthcare provider. I don't know is okay, but yep. I'm going to figure it out no matter what it takes.
Right, and that's the thing. We don't necessarily need the answer, right? Because most of the time, we don't understand the answer. But the part that we need is knowing that if something does happen to us, if my career ends, that it won't be without you exhausting every avenue, without looking at everything you possibly can to figure out what's wrong with me and is there a way to fix it. And for me, it was life, right? So it wasn't about football anymore. It wasn't about whether or not I was going to play. It was about whether or not I was going to live. And to know, all I wanted to know was that if something happened to me and I was no longer here, you can look my wife in the eye, you can look my children in the eye and say, I did everything I possibly could to save Ryan. And I feel like if you go into every situation like that, whether it's big or small, I'm going to do everything within my power to do it. I feel like that comes across. And the energy that gives, the ease that puts a player in or a patient in, I think it's priceless. I think you can't put an amount on how much that helps as far as healing, but also helps as far as them being able to deal with the moment. Because for a lot of these guys, this is the lowest they've ever been, right? For a lot of these guys, if you're talking about the mortality of their football career and something they've done, or their athletic career, something they've done their whole life and dream about doing, being over in these cases maybe prematurely, it's already a ton to handle emotionally and mentally, not to mention the physical part. And so our healthcare providers play such a huge role in whether we get better or not, not just based on the medicine, but on the way they treat us.
Yeah, I think the thing that you really highlighted, I think most of the people in that room, I think most people in healthcare will do that thing. But I think what you said was smart. We got to let you know that we're doing that. Because you really framed it well. You said, listen, if God puts you in front of me as my healthcare provider, God said, this is the person, I just want to know that you're doing everything. Just let me know.
Yeah.
You do the medicine stuff, and I'll do what you tell me.
See that? And that's the, because doctors and healthcare providers have spent their lives not only being smart, but learning to be sure. smart, right? There's never enough knowledge. You start to feel like knowledge is what's of value. When we're in that position, we're not trying to see how smart you are. I want to know how much you care. Because what I do know, what we know about humans is we care about this game so much. And that's why you can't. That's why guys work the way they do. That's why guys will pull sled in 100 degree weather with 100% humidity. That's why guys are trained in Arizona in the sun, in the sand, making sure they can play this because they care about it that much. There is no stone they won't turn over. There is no length they won't go to be great at it, to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And we feel like if you have that same will toward that job, which is caring for me, and you can explain that to me, that puts me more at ease than you telling me what's wrong, because half of the time I don't understand it anyway, right? But if you say, hey, we did this, we did that, we've done this, we still can't figure it out, but now we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we are going to do our best to know what's wrong with you, I now say, you know what? Even though the only reason they can't tell me what's wrong is because it's not medically possible to figure it out now, not because they don't care whether I live or die.
Yeah, I mean, the cliche that we hear often is, we don't care how much you know until we know how much you care.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds cliche and cheesy, but it's real.
It's real.
It gets to the point. So really briefly, you had an incident where you were trying to figure out what's wrong with this pain. You say, I have pain kind of just below your ribs.
Right.
This happened in the Mile High City. And then what was the ultimate resolution? What was the thing they couldn't figure out?
They understood I had a spleen contusion because of a spleen infarction. Obviously, that's when part of your spleen dies off because it's not receiving oxygen. We figure that out. We go home. They say, you know, you will heal and you'll be able to play. Well, what happened is during that time of trying to heal, my spleen got infected. And the infection continued to grow because it continued to go untreated. I wasn't on antibiotics. I wasn't doing things to treat it because we didn't know. The tests weren't showing it. And so you're in this period of knowing that you're not gaining, you're losing weight.
A lot of weight. How much?
I went from, I ended up 205 to 170, 165.
Big difference.
And it was. And this is during a time they're telling me I'm going to play football again this year, right? So this is only a three and a half week span. And so you're doing these things and you're constantly asking what's wrong, or you're trying to figure out what's wrong because they're telling you nothing is. And when you're an athlete and you don't understand medicine, but you know that you've been entrusted to the care of somebody, you try to take that person's word. So if they are telling you you are okay, your next thought is, well, I need to be playing, right? Because you play the game, one, because you love the game.
Sure.
You know, and the other part is you provide. But lastly, it's because you love the people you play with, right? So you have your guys who are out there hurt, who are out there injured, and you know they're battling through, and this man is looking you in the eyes, telling you nothing is wrong with you. You say you have to be out there, and that was the hardest part for me, because it wasn't, well, the tests don't show anything, but I can look at you and tell something is wrong. I can
right.
see that you're different.
Right.
We'll figure it out. It was test day, nothing's wrong with you. And so for me, that was difficult to deal with.
That's losing the human connection.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan knows Ryan better than anybody.
Exactly.
Listen, Ryan, I don't know what's wrong, but I understand that you're telling me something's wrong.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep figuring it out.
Right. And you know, and I think those are things you don't teach in school, right? Those are human skills. And I think when you have to be bogged down in the studying, when you have to be so entrenched in such a competitive field, you forget that. Right,
you can't easily forget that.
Because when you're trying to be the best resident or the best intern, it's not about how you relate to those people. It's about what happens when the doctor asks, well, what's going on with this patient? What intern figured it out? Okay, now you get to scrub in this OR. So now all you've known the whole time you've been in school and trying to get this position is I got to be smarter. I got to have more knowledge. It's got to be dog eat, dog world, go. When that totally changes once you get that job, because you're dealing with somebody who has been treated a certain way because of what he can do. And now he's faced with not being able to do it anymore. So truly that interaction for him is the first interaction at the beginning of what can be the end of what people lauded over him for and loved him for. And so that's a tough situation.
Absolutely. So what was the resolution ultimately? How did things end up?
Well, what ended up happening, they just took it out. You know, they wanted to obviously heal the infection. So the infectious disease doctor comes in. She's doing all she can. but my condition was getting progressively worse. You know how it kind of works. You're doing bad before you get in the hospital, and you start to do worse. You know what I mean? Because now they are trying to treat something. Now they are going through procedures. Now they are figuring different things out. So after I had two small procedures where they went in and basically tried to vacuum out as much of the infection in my spleen as they could to be able to do the surgery arthroscopically, mm-hmm. because they didn't want to cut into my abdomen. They understood I was an athlete, that was part of it, and they said it was super thick too, so they didn't want to. They's like, Ryan, we don't know how long it would take you to heal if we did this. So they tried to do that, but after enough days of seeing me suffer and not being able to figure it out, they eventually go in, they take my spleen, took my gallbladder about a month later because the splenectomy ended up taking too long because it was, you know, more infection than they thought. And so, you know, that was kind of the solution. And the same doctor that did my surgery, Dr. Hughes, he took my tubes out first, and he didn't tell me he was taking them out. He's like, yeah, it'll be over in a second. And he just starts pulling. And when he came in the room and saw me Monday morning, he didn't say, hey, we're going to do more tests. He looked at me and he said, we're going now.
Okay.
He's like, get him ready now. Because I wasn't scheduled for surgery that morning. He decided that morning when he came in that it needed to be done. So it gave me a different type of trust in him. He didn't come in the room and say, hey, let me leave the room and go run another test. He'd only known me for 3 days at that point. He knew I'd had enough.
Yeah, he looked at
And he
at
knew
you.
He knew it was time.
He looked at the person, not the chart.
Looked at the person, not the chart. And so when I go in to see him a week later and he takes my tubes out and I say, hey, doc, you know, am I going to be able to play? And he says, 100%. He says, you'll be just as good as you were before, if not better. I actually did end up being better, but a huge part was a man who saw me first and not a patient and not a player, who just saw another human suffering and dealing with something and decided to make that choice for me and cared about me. When he tells you 100%, you're going to be ready to go, just as I say, you try to believe what they're saying when you're not sick.
Mm-hmm.
When he tells you you're going to make it, and that's somebody you have that type of belief in, that also empowers you to go on and do that as well.
That trust. So the spleen issue came about because of a sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went ahead and you said, well, I'm going to do something about that. So you started CureLeague.org. Tell us about that.
Well, the Ryan Clark Cure League was just a situation where myself and UPMC, we knew that something needed to be done. We knew that some steps needed to be taken to not only build awareness about sickle cell, but also find ways to fund it, find ways to fund the research. So now we have our own clinic that strictly deals in sickle cell research. For something that affects 1 to 10 African Americans, it's tough to know that you only have one FDA approved drug. You know what I mean?
People.
Right. To know that it affects that many people, there's only one FDA approved drug. So even if you can give people a little more relief. But the other huge part is awareness to not only the people who have the sickle cell trait or who have sickle cell, but awareness for the caregivers.
Yeah.
If they can understand kind of what these people are going through, the battles and the challenges and the pain that is associated with this illness, then maybe the treatment, not necessarily the clinical treatment or the medical treatment of these people will be better, but just the treatment as humans goes. Will
yeah,
be
I mean, you talked about one thing, and I know you threw it in for kind of comedic effect, but it's true, and I've seen it as a physical therapist. They kept saying, nothing's wrong with you. We tested you, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you. And you're like, when I walk into work, I look fine. So you were right. Like, man, I was letting my beard grow because you, but what you were really trying to do is you were trying to show everybody something's not right. And I don't know how to show you because I'm telling you. So I'm going to look all haggard.
Hey, no question. I was like, you know what, guys? If you're going to say nothing wrong, I'm going to force your hand.
I'm going to look bad.
I was like, you're going to need to think I'm on drugs or something's wrong with me. And that was just, it was just part of it. Another part was I didn't have the energy to try to not look that way. I joked about it because that was how I looked, but I stopped caring. And, you know, you're looking at me now and people have seen me on TV. I really care about how I look. You know, I try to make sure that I present myself in a way where people understand that I not only care about what I'm talking about, but I care about how I live. And so at that point, I just didn't even have the energy to keep that up, to keep it going.
Well, that's good you bring up that it's CureLeague.org,
mm-hmm.
CureLeague.org. And it's good you bring that up about caregivers knowing that.
Yes.
Because, you know, especially internal issues, mm-hmm. they don't look like anything.
Exactly.
You know, I can see why your arm is broken, look how swollen it is.
Right.
But if something's inside, I don't know what you're going through. I don't. But if you can explain it, that goes a long way.
What also happens with people in sickle cell crisis is it doesn't present in any way. There won't be bruises all over. Like you said, it won't be a broken arm. So what happened is the pain is so high. And these people have developed such a high pain tolerance that there's a lot of pain meds that is needed for them to feel okay. So sometimes it gets presented as drug addicts,
right,
as
people, seeking drug.
As people who are seeking drug. But because caretakers don't have the awareness, and like you said, because it's not something that really presents to you visually, mm-hmm. they don't understand they're going through. So you try to hip them to it, you try to teach them, you try to educate them enough to where they understand. You can get that relationship built between those patients and the caregivers. I think it also helps as well.
Same thing between the patient or the person and the caregiver and the medical professional.
Yes,
it's kind of full circle.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency, Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. Ryan Clark, Giants fan, in me. I'm from New York. So I'll forgive you playing for the Skins and the Steelers. Two questions. What's the better feeling? A sack, an interception, or a forced fumble? Which is the one where you like...
A forced fumble.
Why?
Here's why. Because a forced fumble takes work usually, right? So go to Giants, right? Okay. Michael Strahan's record-breaking sack.
All right. Well, that one's in particular. Okay,
yeah, you know, not a ton of work involved. You know, and interceptions, probably for a guy like Ed Reed who got a ton of them, he probably enjoyed it. But for me, when you force a fumble, you've either hit a guy extremely hard, hit him perfectly to where you contacted the ball, or ripped the ball away from him. So I just think the effort that is involved and the work that is involved, and it's also usually the most effective turnover, right? If you look at interceptions, it can be long throws and different things. You force a fumble at the line of scrimmage, right? You force a fumble at the line of scrimmage, teammate picks it up, gives you better field position. So I'm going to go with force fumble.
Okay, I like it. Out of the 643 career tackles, do you have a favorite? Is there
Willis
a memorable?
McGahee.
Okay. Set it up.
Remember it necessarily because I think I was kind of gone afterwards. So it's AFC Championship. Troy Polamalu just scores to put us up two scores. The week before, Darren Sproles runs the same play on us. They move him from one side of the quarterback to the other. They know our adjustment. They throw him a little angle route. He scores a touchdown. So I see Willis McGahee move to the other side. I give them the exact same look we gave him against San Diego. Sure enough, they try to run the exact play. I'm running downhill. He catches it. I hit him. He fumbles the ball. We recover it. We're going to the Super Bowl.
That's it. I like that a lot. All right. We have a feature on our show called Parting Shots.
Okay.
This is the Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum, Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
You're going to leave the audience, and the audience for this show is primarily physical therapists, people working with athletes, but also non-athletes. Mm-hmm. What's something you want the audience to remember from Ryan Clark?
Oh, it's very simple. It's something that, you know, we would say as football players all the time. Let your job be what you do, not who you are. Don't let your job or what it takes to be a physical therapist, to be a doctor, define you. Let your actions as a human define you.
I like that a lot. Ryan Clark, want to make sure we throw out that website one more time, cureleague.org. As a Giants fan, I'm geeking out a little bit.
I had 2 years with you guys.
My Giants right there. Appreciate you taking the time out to come to something like this to kind of spread what you went through as a person, not a player, as a person in need of care. So that's awesome. So thanks for taking time to share your knowledge with the rest
Thank
of the
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it, brother.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The
PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that. The PT Pinecast proudly supports the Wounded Warrior Project. Since 2003, the Wounded Warrior Project has been raising funds and awareness for the needs of injured service members, helping injured servicemen and women with aid and assistance, and to provide unique direct programs and services to meet their needs. Their continuing goal is to foster the most successful, well-adjusted generation of wounded service members in our nation's history. To find out how you can help the Wounded Warrior Project, visit them online at woundedwarriorproject.org.